Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Just two short verses, 9 and 10. Two short verses with a lot to say about who we are as God's people. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Precious Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Father God, then we just ask that you give us the strength to live as people who have received mercy. To let us live as people who have received grace. Let us live as people who have received your love. Your love that died on Calvary's cross for our sins. Father God, thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father God, let us live in a marvelous way for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I really just still looking at some sermons on shining for Jesus. I think this probably be the last one. But there's a responsibility that comes with being a child of God. Talk about it a little bit this morning. But there's a responsibility that comes with it. And you heard me say our reasonable service. In any profession, any job, you may go out and look for a job. They're going to give you a job description. And what that job description is going to tell you is what their company's expectations are for you. If you're going to work here, whether it's a General Motors, Armed Forces, any factory, if you go out for a sporting team, there's going to be expectations. They're going to give you a handbook, a playbook. They're going to have a meeting with your parents and everybody. Here's what we expect. Okay? Here's what we expect, not only from the parents, from the children, but from the parents. There's certain behaviors that come with it. Okay? They don't want you out there acting a fool because you're representing. I hear Justin talk about, he's playing for the Liberty Leopards. Well, he represents them. He's going to wear the uniform. Okay? And that goes for all of us in whatever we do. But what about when we come to the Lord? What is God's playbook for us? What does God expect from us? And we all as children, okay? From the oldest one in here to the youngest one in here, we all God's children, okay? Now, based on the scripture that I read, 1 Peter 2, 9, God, through the person of Peter, true evangelist, tells us what God has done for us and who we are. Imagine if we live like this. And this is what God is trying to say. There's a way we ought to live.
Amen.
Based on the scripture, he said, you are a chosen generation. The very reason that you are here, the very reason that God saved you is because he chose you. You didn't choose him. You're a chosen generation. So what he said about the people of God, all of us everywhere, all walks of life that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're a chosen generation. Okay, you hear about all these millennials and all these different generations of people that's coming up anymore, but we are a chosen generation. So we can walk around and when people ask us why we act the way we do, why we carry ourselves the way we do, why we love and forgive and have mercy and grace on people, we can say we are a chosen generation. And the very fact that God chose us and saved us and forgave us, we ought to be that way. Think about this. Not only are we a chosen generation, Peter said, not only are you a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood. How about that? All of us, we all are royalty in God's eyes. The very fact that we are God's children, we are a royal priesthood. How about that?
Amen.
And the priest, you know what a priest is? People get mixed up. Servant, a servant. See, we got a priest, and we get anything about somebody got the big hat on, they sprinkling water on everybody. No, he's a servant. Okay? That's all I'm doing up here. All I'm doing up here is serving God. Okay? Not up here because, you know, I need a job or, you know, they pay me so much and I got to work my way here and I drag myself through the door. No. I'll be the first one here and last one to leave. Okay? Amen. When they was interviewing me for the job and everything, for the position of a pastor here, they sit here and told me, hey, look, we can't pay you. Oh, well, we paid the last few preachers because, you know, we run. And God didn't call me to do this for a living. Amen. Okay. Amen. God ain't called me to do this for a living. If they would have told me in that interview, when they was interviewing me, it was Rita and a couple other people, they said, we can't pay you nothing. Guess what I would have did? I would have still did it. Amen. I would have still said, hey, look, you know, install me. Amen. I want to be the pastor of the church. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. Amen. Okay. Without charge. Without charge. Okay. So that's what a priest is. Servant. And God said, y'all know you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We're a holy nation of people. Okay? Listen, there's all kind of groups of people out there. They got their biker groups, they got groups for this, and they got anti-groups for this and pro groups for that. They got all these different groups. You know what group we belong to? We're a holy nation. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Imagine if our young people, our little ones and young ones would go to schools and carry themselves like a holy nation, like a royalty. You know what? Listen, if I'm a young man and I'm royalty, and I know I'm royalty, what I'm looking for? I'm looking for royalty. All right? I'm looking for royalty. So if our young ladies is carrying themselves like royalty, what they looking for? What they gonna be looking for in a mate or a man or a husband one day? Royalty. Amen. Royalty don't marry outside of royalty. Amen. Royalty don't get in relationships outside of royalty. Okay, if I'm royalty, look, I'm not getting in a relationship with a peasant. I guess that's real kind. With a peasant. Okay. Y'all watch that last royal marriage out there. Okay. Royalty look for royalty. What are you going to talk about? I'm saved. What I'm going to talk to you? What I'm going to get in a relationship? What I'm going to talk to you about? Let's talk about this Jesus who chose us. Let's talk about this chosen generation, this royal priesthood, this holy nation. We are peculiar. Peter put it down. He said, not only you're chosen, not only you're royalty, not only you're a holy nation, but you're peculiar. And I'm wrong with it. See, we think something wrong with being peculiar. We want to fit in. Okay? Anyway, I hear people say, well, get in where you fit in. No. I fit in with holiness and royalty, and I'm a chosen generation, and I'm peculiar. Peculiar about what I watch, peculiar about what I touch, peculiar about where I go, peculiar about who I communicate with, who I hang out with. I'm just peculiar. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with being peculiar. Okay? See, the world said there's something wrong with being peculiar. Okay? Well, that's all you do is go to church and serve God and sing in the choir and praise the Lord and try to treat everybody nice. You need to cuss some people out sometimes. No, I'm peculiar. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. Amen. And again, know what else he says we should do? Praise him. I'm just reading the text. Write down the text. Okay? That you should show forth the praises of him. We don't talk about him. Amen. See, I sit here. We getting ready to go through it. I'm going to tell y'all something, folks. We getting ready to go through it in America. Okay? But I'm going to tell y'all something. And I got a point in here about determination. But I'm going to jump to the head. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to be like Paul. Paul said, I was determined. Okay? I was determined enough to know anything upon you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not going to get into them conversations. Amen. See, I've always been trying. People try to draw you into conversation. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get political up here. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Amen. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ, Him crucified. You keep coming here, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Okay? Amen. I don't see nothing in the Bible about who the next Supreme Court judge going to be. I don't see nothing in the Bible about the president, whoever, whether Democrat or Republican. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm going to be determined to do it. Amen. I'm going to be determined to do it. Because people need Jesus.
Amen.
People need to know the Lord. People need to be saved. We need our young people need to hear the word of God. Our old folks need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
People dying need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
I'd love to have a nursing home ministry and been talking to a lot of older people. Let's go and talk to them. You know, get them saved. You know, nursing homes is full of unsaved folks. Nursing homes is full of unsaved folks. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to praise Him. We need to talk what He's done for us. Now, if He ain't done nothing for you, now you got a reason not to talk about Him. You got a reason not to praise Him. You got a reason not to be a part of this holy nation and not be peculiar and chosen. Because if God's not done anything for you, then you ain't got nothing to talk about. Just keep on talking about whether LeBron is going to L.A. or not. But if you save, you want me to talk about what Jesus done for me.
Amen.
Okay? When I was lost. When I was in darkness, and He called me into His marvelous light. That's what He did. He called me into His marvelous light. You know what His light is marvelous? People say, people talk, man, Pastor, you just do everything for that church. All you told me to do out of that church working, tell the city, I'm gonna buy me a truck so I can take my lawnmower over there and cut the grass. Tired of paying people $400 or $500 a month to butcher up the grass. But that's our reasonable service. We looking for something. What can I do for the Lord? Because He done so much for me. What can I do for the Lord? Now, if He ain't done nothing for you, but Peter said we ought to be an exhibition. We ought to be an exhibition. We ought to be on display. Look at that person. Think about Lazarus. Not the Lazarus in hell. Not the Lazarus, rich man Lazarus. I'm not talking about the rich man Lazarus. I'm talking about the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the grave. Remember the story in John 11? Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. That's a picture of us. That's a picture of us. Before we were saved, God raised us from the dead. Now, the Bible says in John 11 that the people came to see Lazarus, whom Christ had raised from the dead. Listen, folks, He was on display. Folks wanted to see what a person that was once dead and now alive looks like.
Amen.
And you know what? Don't have to look no further than anybody here to say.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Folks ought to look at us and like, whoa, there's a demonstration of what God has done. We are walking demonstrations of the grace and the mercy and the power of God. Let me tell y'all something. You know what? You're dead in your trespass sins and God delivered you. A walking confession. Let's keep going. We ought to do something else too. God expects it from us. And I think we did a wonderful job this week. And we may not see the end result of all our work, but we put some work in this week. I'm telling y'all something. Y'all put some work in this week and talk to these children about the things of God. Well, Josh Senior sent us a text that his son woke up talking about BBS and some things he learned, some of the scriptures he was taught. I think that's wonderful stuff, man. Okay? You gotta sit here and don't understand. Your job is to sow seed. That's all. Your job is not to make the seed grow. You can't make the seed grow. All you can do is sow seed.
Amen.
See? And see, some of us is like these watermelons you buy today. Trina and Cindy and I, we was in Sam's Club. We looking for a watermelon with seeds in it. They had hundreds of watermelons. And on every one of them stamped, seedless. Now there's Christians, hundreds and thousands of Christians, you know, all over Youngstown. And you know what? And I look at them and I talk to them. And you know, many of them are marked seedless. Seedless. We ought to be fruit bearers. We ought to be talking about the Lord. We are, you know, your people ought to see it in how we handle ourselves and live and love one another. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The Bible tells a story and says, you hear therefore the parable of the sower. He said, a sower went out to sow seeds. Now, how much talent does it take to sow seeds? Think about it. In the biblical times when they sowed seeds, you know who sowed the seeds? You know whose job was to sow seeds? The little kids. The little kids were sowing because there was no art to it. All they told the kids to do, they wrap a basket around them and they walk up and down the fields and they just sow seeds. See, now you see the people out there pushing it and it's got the spreaders and it's spreading all around. But they just sow seeds. Ain't hard. What nothing? No power in the sower. Where's the power at? In the seed that he sowed. Okay? And now he sowed it on three grounds. The seed would land. Because you was in there, every once in a while your seed would land on a hard pan. What would happen? Get stepped on, the birds come and eat it. The Bible said the birds come and pick it up. Then some of the seeds went on stony places. The Bible said stony places and just a little bit of ground, a little bit of dirt, and underneath the dirt be rock. And the seed would go down, and once the roots hit the bottom, that's it. And they would spring up. And then when the heat hit them, let me tell you something, the heat gonna hit them. And the heat has caused a lot of church folks to leave the church. Because the heat comes. They're not rooted enough. And when they spring up, oh, I got it all together. I love Jesus. And the world don't love Jesus. Okay? Okay? ESPN don't love Jesus. All right? Fox and CNN and cable and Cinemax don't love Jesus. Okay? And when you start talking about Jesus and your workplace don't love Jesus, nobody in here work at a job to love Jesus. All right? I don't care where you work at. You ain't talking about Jesus. Because the world hate Jesus. Now you walking around talking about you love Jesus and what Jesus done for you. And guess what the world going to do? They're going to bring the heat on you. All right? They're going to bring the heat on you. I heard Jeremy teaching the other day. Listen, they will take you to HR. You start talking about Jesus, passing out tracts, talking about Jesus, you're going to save the whole plant. Guess what? You will be unemployed. Okay? Because the world don't love Jesus.
Amen.
Never have. Never will. And you know what the church is trying to do? The Caesar's church? They're trying to make the world love Jesus. And they're trying to make the world love the church. The love world ain't going to love the church. It's not. Okay? It's not going to love the church. It's not going to love the world. We are a chosen generation, a chosen few. Now I get the word few because the word of God says it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And there are what? Few be that find it. That word find me, there's some effort and energy that goes into this. Don't let those preachers tell you anything. Go home and study. Bring you a pencil and paper to church. Write down some stuff. This preacher said this. Because that's what they did to Paul. Paul preached the word of God to the Berean church. You know what the Berean church did? They took notes. And they questioned Paul when he came back. They said, Paul, you said this last time. I got a question about him. What did Paul say about the Berean church? He said they were more noble than any other church. Why? Because they just did not take what he said face value. And the word of God backs up. He says, study. To show thyself approved, a workman, one that rightfully divided the word of truth. Because there's a problem if you divide it wrong.
Amen.
Okay? But we are to bear fruit. Think about it. What if your job was you are a Christian and your job is to go out and produce fruit. Or produce Christians. How will we do? As believers. Okay? How will we? We better keep that job. Now I go with my brother. He sells cars. You going to the dealership. I don't like to go in this dealership because it's high pressure. It's just high pressure. He probably listened to one of these sermons. It's just high pressure. Go in there, look on the board, and they got all the salesmen, all the names of the salesmen on the wall, and how many cars they sold. Okay? And they might have John, Bob, Bill, whatever, 10, 15 new car sales and everything like that. And they put that up there for a reason. Because, see, they want them people to get up there. And if you on the bottom constantly, if you're a car salesman and you ain't selling no cars, guess what happens? You be unemployed. Okay? Now, what did Jesus say? He says, but he that received the seed on good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Okay? This is why it's so important that the preacher preach in a way that people understand. That understanding it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What's the point? We got to bear fruit. We got to talk to people about Jesus. And ain't no use talking about it if your life don't back it up. Okay?
Amen.
Keep your mouth shut. Okay? Ain't no use talking about something you don't know. I get in conversation with folks all the time. They talking about stuff they don't know. I'm sitting there. You bring it up. You ever met a person like that? They know, Mr. Jack of all trades, know everything. And I said to him, he's the smartest man in the world. Why aren't you running for president? Because they know everything. It don't matter. You just talk to them about whatever. Politics, sports, jet skiing, scuba diving. I mean, you make it up and they start talking about it. I mean, y'all know people like that. You just throw it out there. You know? I went to the moon. I've been there twice. See, that kind of person. See? There are folk like that. Can you top this? You tell them you've been to Florida? They've been there three times. Whatever you've done once, they've done three, four times. And they're Christians like that. They just talk. Now, they don't know nothing about no scriptures, no verses. They don't have no understanding of the scripture. Get you some understanding. The Bible says that all you're getting, get an understanding. Get it. So when people want to question you, and Peter says this, he says, you shall always have an answer. Okay? For those who asked about the hope that is in you. Okay? Folks going to question you. If you sit there and talk to people about Jesus, they're going to question you. They just gonna question you. And your answer shouldn't be, oh, you know, here's my pastor. You didn't call my pastor. Watch this. I'm getting ready to get to one of the difficult ones. But somebody say, well, how do I get this? How do I get this? Here's how you get it. Besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay? Into knowledge, temperaments, into temperaments, patience, into patience, godliness, into godliness, brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness, charity, which means love. Just start adding. Ask the Lord. Fall before the Lord. Say, Lord, listen, I want to be the man or woman of God you call me to be. You call me out of darkness. You say I'm a royal priesthood. You say I'm a holy nation. Lord, I need knowledge, and wisdom, and diligence, and faith, and virtue, and temperance. That's all you need, all that stuff to make it just for one day. Just one day. Go to Walmart. And you need all that just to get out of Walmart.
Amen.
With your groceries. Okay? You need some help in this world. We sit here and talk about people. These psychologists and doctors is labeling all our young people. You got all these disorders. Okay? And the one disorder you really have is you need Jesus.
Amen.
You need to be born again. You need the hope that comes with having a relationship with God. People ask me, I hear people say, well, how could that man do that up in Annapolis this weekend? Go on there, shoot all them people. He was hopeless. He was hopeless. Empty inside. Destitute of the love of God. And without God, let me tell y'all something, folks. Y'all sit here and talk about, oh, they did this and they did that. You didn't do it. They're in sin that anybody can't do.
Amen.
We are equipped to sin. We are born with a sin nature. And if we don't deal with that sin nature, we don't know how far it's going to take us. We don't know where it's going to take us, okay? And some of y'all know I've been working in the prison system. I see folks in there, and they don't have a clue how they got there. They don't have a clue how they got there. They didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, when I'm 23 years old or 25 years old, I'm going to kill two people and go to prison. They didn't. That wasn't in their cars when they were 17, 18 years old. But we know sin will always what? Take you further than you plan on going, cost you more than you plan on spending, and keep you longer than you plan on staying. And you have to deal with sin. You have to deal with sin. That's why God says, and John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But you got to live in a confessed state. You can't live and carry unconfessed sin around constantly, because it's going to deal with you. Listen, here's what God calls his people. And this is important. And I think this stops so many people. This stops so many people from following the Lord hard. So you got to follow the Lord hard. Okay? Now, the seedless church and the seedless preacher don't like to preach this. This is touchy, touchy, touchy. Okay? Separation. God calls his people to live in separation from the world. Boy, that's a tough one, ain't it? We don't want to separate. When I think about the rich young ruler, and it comes to my mind all the time, he come running, running, running. What must I do to be saved? In the very end, all he said was, you need to separate yourself from your love of the world and your love of stuff. That was the end. That was really the end of it. Separation. Okay? Peter, or the writer of Hebrews, this is fascinating. Because we think of Moses, and Moses was a great man. Moses had it made at one time. But when God wanted to use Moses, he couldn't use Moses until Moses did what? Separate himself. And most of us can't be used. The reason why we can't be used is because we won't separate ourselves. He says in Hebrews 11, 23, he said, by faith when Moses was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. When Moses was born, he was a three-month-old baby, and they put him in they made a little ark for him, and they patched it all up with tarp and a tar and sailed him down the river. And the whole ordeal was an act of faith on the part of Moses' parents. And Moses' sister, Miriam, went ahead. She was with Pharaoh's daughter. She said, look, there's a little baby. Man, that was good. Set it all up. The Pharaoh's daughter took Moses, put him in the house, raised him as a Pharaoh's son. And Moses came to understand who he really was, and that he was God's chosen one. It says, by faith, when Moses come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because Pharaoh's daughter and all of Egypt was persecuting the Jews or the Israelites. And Moses said, listen, how can I be a part of that? And you know what we are? We sort of like Moses in Pharaoh's house. The world persecutes the church. The world hates the church. And we won't separate from the world. Here's what Moses did. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me tell you something. That's a hard sell. That's a hard sell. You know why? Because the church is telling people we ought to live like kings. We ought to enjoy everything this world has to offer. Let me tell you something, folks. If you want to enjoy everything this world has to offer, there's a price to come with it. There's a price to come with it. There's a price to come with it. See, there's a separation involved. Let me. I have so many verses on this. I'm gonna give you this one. 1 Corinthians 6. I think we're familiar with this one. It says, and it's talking about separation. God expects us to be separated. Y'all expect me to be separated. As a pastor of the church, you expect me to live a separated life. You don't expect me to be hanging out with the heathens, running the streets. Okay? If you see me in the numbers line, you have a problem.
Amen.
Okay? Pastor in the numbers line. And you have your phone out. Yeah, you got a picture of your pastor in the numbers line. See, you can't hide like you used to. Back in the day, pastor could do some things. Not no more. Got him. Okay. Screenshot, and there you go. I'm on front page. Listen, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's so important. And it doesn't say you shouldn't have acquaintances that are unbelievers. That's not what it's saying. It says to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What do you mean? An unbeliever and a believer should not, cannot be yoked together. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what this text is saying. To have two animals, you got a clean animal, which is an ox or something like that, a clean animal, and then an unclean animal. If you yoke them together, an ox with an unclean animal, like a goat, that ox, because that unclean animal stinks to that ox, okay? That clean animal, when you ever talk to somebody with bad breath? I'm serious. This is a serious question. You ever talk to somebody with bad breath? What are you trying to do? I mean, you sit there blinking, eyes blinking and stuff. Especially if there's somebody you got to listen to. You sitting there and they got bad breath and you sitting there blinking and twitching. Well, that's the ox. And he yoked together with an unclean animal. That unclean animal stinking. That ox is turning his head. So what's going to happen to that man's farm? The lines are going to be all over the place because this ox is trying to get loose. You talk to somebody with bad breath and you want that conversation over quick. You might pull out a pack of gum and eat one yourself and try to give them a hint. Hey, you want a piece of gum? Oh, Lord have mercy. But that's what he's saying. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You shouldn't be able to stay in a conversation long with somebody who ain't talking about the right things. Seriously. Just put it this way. You're a child of God. You ever start having a conversation with somebody and start cussing and 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 cussing. And you sitting up there, you're a child of God. And you talk to somebody, every other word, every other word, every other word, every other word. You meet a guy, you meet a girl, and you're a child of God. And every other word, that guy cussing and cussing and cussing, that girl cussing, 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 and you say, when can I have your phone number? Okay. Huh? Give him mine. Oh. Call me, you know. See, the word of God says we shouldn't be unequally yoked. Why? For what concord have Christ with Belial? What relationship? What would the devil and Jesus talk about? Okay? And you represent God. As us in here, we represent God. What relationship do we have with the world? Other than talking about God. And what's the world going to talk about? The devil. They ain't going to come out and say it like that. I don't want to talk to you about the devil, but they going to talk to you about things that ain't of God. And if you talk to them about God, they're going to question your relationship with God. They're going to question, is he really real? Did he really die? Did he really raise from the dead? How can you believe all that? They're going to do everything they can do to disturb your relationship with God. That's what the world is going to do. And in verse 16, it said, what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, and as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, here we go. Come out from among them and be you separate. Say the Lord and touch not the unclean thing. That separation went hard sell. Nehemiah had to live a separated life. Nehemiah built a wall. And the whole time he built the wall, he had two people complaining, ridiculed him about the wall. Oh, the wall, the wall, the wall. Tobiah, and I forget the other guy's name. Sam Donner. And they complained about the wall. Oh, if a fox walk on the wall, it's going to tear it down. They plotted to tear that wall down. They plotted to disturb the people from building it. People had to work with a weapon in one hand and a hammer in the other. And when Nehemiah left and went back, he came back and guess who was living in the house? Tobiah. Tobiah was living in the house. And you know what Nehemiah did? Y'all know what he did. Y'all know what he did. Put him out. Okay? He separated himself from it. You got to separate yourself from sin. The Bible says, and I chased him from me. Nehemiah 13. Listen. There's sins in our lives. Okay? Sins of mine. Sins of you guys. And know we need to do like Nehemiah. Chase that thing. Or starve it. See, you chase it or starve it. If you got mice in the house, you don't just sit here and throw crumbs on the floor. You clean this floor and you sweep it. Why? You going to starve the mice out of there if you don't have no decon. Abraham. Remember Abraham? Lot got into trouble like he always did. They captured Lot and everything. And all the Sodomite people was captured. Abraham went and got them. See, we think of Abraham, oh, he's the father of faith. Like he was soft. No, he was a warrior. He was the father of faith, but he was a warrior. Took 300 men out there and rescued all of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the end, the king of Sodom, the king of the homosexual nation, wanted to give Abraham some money. Boy, the Sealess Church would took that money. Then it took that money. And give me that money, you know, pray for it because we don't know where it came from. Listen, folks, let me tell you what Abraham did. He says, he offered him the money. And Abraham said this. I have lift up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God. Watch this down. He's talking about his relation with the Lord. That I will not take not a thread, even a shoe lash it from this king, the king of Sodom. Why? That's right. And he said, I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Okay? See? And the world makes most of these churches rich. Let me tell y'all something. You look at some of these big old churches, you know where they get most of their money from? The government. Grants, all this stuff. The government pay for all these big old churches. And guess who owns them? The government. They can't say nothing. You know what Rahab had to do? Separate. When they came and they was going to tear down the walls of Jericho, guess what Rahab did? Listen, I'm going to separate my family, put all my family in one little room. When y'all come back, we going with y'all. She had to separate. Mm-hmm. Okay? Y'all know the story of Ruth. When Ruth and Naomi, when Naomi was going back and Ruth, her sister went back, and know what Ruth had to do? Separate. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said she was going to have the baby Jesus, what did Mary immediately have to do? Separate. You don't hear nothing about Mary's mother and father. Okay? And I never bought into the fact that she was the child that she had in her was the child of the Jesus of the Holy Spirit. She had to separate. You don't hear Mary having a whole lot of buddies. Okay? You don't. Read all about Mary. Read all about her. You don't hear about having a whole lot of friends. Uh-huh. Elizabeth, her cousin. Okay. Let me give you one more last one. I asked this among 84. This is the main one. This is my favorite one. Separation is important. When God saved me, I had to separate. I had to separate for some stuff. And you know what? I'm still living a separated life. And things come to my life on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. You know what? You got to sit here and say, good, bad. It's called discernment. Good, bad. Good, bad. Do I need to get involved in this? Do I need to stay away from it? Just constantly going through the mind of the believer. And our young people going through the mind of young people all the time. Listen. We said it earlier. Sin with what? Always take you further than plan on going. Keep you there longer than you plan on standing. It costs you more than plan on spending. You got detox places all over. You ride around Youngstown anymore, all you got detox centers. Detox centers everywhere. Everywhere you ride around. Why? Nobody, when they was 10, 11 years old, said one day at 23, 24 years old, I'm going to be going into a detox center. What happened? Made some bad decisions. Hung around some bad people. Got unequally yoked. Somebody, hey, I'm going to introduce you to something. Try this. You need to tell them? Try Jesus. Okay? Or you didn't constantly keep your mind, I'm separated. I'm a separated man, I'm a separated woman, I'm a separated man, I'm a separated woman. Man, that's tough. I'm not sitting here saying it's easy, okay? You guys gonna have to deal with some stuff. Because in this world, you're gonna have to deal with some stuff, okay? Listen, here's Paul. Y'all know I love Paul. Some of y'all might think, well, I'm gonna get to Jesus. First person you wanna see is Paul. No, I don't wanna see Paul first, I wanna see Jesus. I wanna see Jesus first, then I wanna see Paul. And y'all know who's third, right? Them sailors, okay? Now look at Paul. Here's Paul. Paul had a horrible background. Paul said, I was chief of sinners. If you read about his story of Aquilus, when he was on trial with Agrippa, he's talking about how many people he killed and murdered. Okay? But Paul says this because the only way Paul could have had been great at ministry, and the only way any of us are going to be great at serving God, is if we do the same thing. This scripture needs to resonate with us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul said, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why is that so important? Because you can't drive down the street looking in the rearview mirror. And we let our past consume us. We let our mistakes consume us. Okay? We gotta let it go. Okay? We gotta let some stuff go. We don't. We just hold on. And we take all God's grace. All God's grace, all God's mercy, all God's love, and he's just pouring it out on us. And you know what we focus on? Well, you know, when I was 10, or I was 11, when I was 13, when I was, listen, let me tell you something. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. Boy, we get stuck. Oh, the love I lost was a sweet love. And we just sit here, and we just all depressed. He didn't take me to the prom. I got all dressed up for the prom, and I never got over it. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth, that's determination. Okay? You got to be determined to serve God. You can't serve God haphazardly. You just can't be wishy-washy. I heard Dave reading the scripture. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't sit here and serve God one week, serve the devil the next week. You know, that'd be like me sitting here telling y'all, well, you know, I'm a Browns fan, but I cheer for the Steelers. That's my second best team. No. Okay? You can't straddle this thing and straddle the fence. There ain't no, well, you know, I'm 80% Jesus, 20%. Well, I'm still doing what I like to do. No. Okay? You got to serve Jesus with determination. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before. And watch this now. Now, reaching is a word of determination here. But here's another word of determination. Y'all know what it is. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Amen. It's a press way. Okay? That word, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, you can't conduct your life by the things that happened to you when you was years ago, even months ago. Amen. We all make mistakes. Amen. We all do crazy stuff, and we're going to sin. And you know what the wonderful thing about a relationship with Jesus Christ? He forgave us of our sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. Okay? Amen. And all we have to do is, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. As long as you're in this flesh, as long as I'm in this flesh, it's going to touch things, it's going to look at stuff, and it's going to, the mind and all that stuff going to be hammered away because Satan wants to destroy you. And if he can't destroy you physically, he wants to destroy your joy. Take it away. Make you miserable. You call yourself a Christian. If you was a Christian, there ain't no way. And that's constant. And I hear people all the time, well, I can't serve God. I hear the young kids incarcerated. I can't serve God in here. Let me tell you something. And this is what I tell them. If you can't serve God in here, where you locked up, okay, in your room at 8 o'clock every night until 7 o'clock in the morning, and if you can't serve God in here, there ain't no way you're going to serve God in East Cleveland. Amen. There ain't no way you're going to serve God in Beechwood and Chagrin Falls and Euclid. There ain't no way. Well, I used the scripture earlier. I'm close. Get ready. Let y'all out of here. Paul said this. And I say this. I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. When I think about that word determined, there's only one thing. One scripture comes to my mind. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Paul says this. And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 2:1-2. For I determined. Why did Paul have to determine that? Because the world was pulling at Paul too. Okay? It was pulling at Paul. The world was going to pull at you, and pull at you, and it's going to walk you away from the things of God. It was coming at you, young and old, and say, look, you know, all that church stuff. You know, we doing our thing over here. You know what? You got to wake up. You got to live a determined life. Paul lived a determined life. He said, I determined not to know anything among you. I'm not getting drawn into that conversation, and I'm not getting drawn into that, and I'm not running for this. I'm going to do what God called me to do, and I got to be determined to do it, because you can't do it without determination. You can't serve God without determination.
Amen.
Okay? Because I determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know what Paul basically said? I don't know anything among you but what Jesus Christ done for me. What he done for me on Calvary, and I was chief sinner, and I was the worst of the worst, and he saved me. And he called me into his ministry, and he enabled me, he empowered me, and he washed my sins away. What else is there for me to do but to serve him? What else is there to do but to serve him? Precious Lord, we just come to you this morning thanking you. Father God, we want to be fruit bearers. We want to be an exhibition of who you are and what you can do in a life. We want to walk in the holiness of God. We want to be that holy nation, that chosen ones. Father God, we need the determination that you gave Paul. We need it. I need it. I want to live for you. I want to give my last breath to you. Father, we thank you for those that are here. We ask, Father God, that they would get an understanding of the things that God expects from those that he saved. For those that he died for, he shed his blood. If you're saved in here today, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, what you're basically saying is Christ shed his blood on Calvary for my sins. What is my reason for service? Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for everything. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. We're going to have our communion service. Amen. I know we have some folks that haven't been here on a first Sunday, and we come together, and when we take communion, and it's it's a time where we remember what God has done for us. And communion is for those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they've been baptized, and this what is the way we present it here. So if you want to stay in the service with us and observe it, that's fine. Amen. And I say that